Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good morning. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios on a Monday. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here hanging out with you guys.
With the braids, a braided Tiff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have braids. I just got back from Miami over the weekend.
So did you get those done in Miami?
No.
Or is that just a precursor?
Precursor
All right.
to Miami.
Fair enough. Wanted to go down there with the right attitude, right?
You know?
A little vacation, a little unplug.
Little mini getaway.
Mini excursion. How'd it go?
Great. Couple good dinners, fancy boat ride, and I mean, it was. They had a little bit of a cold front down there.
I was good. That's what my thing was. Like, I feel like people go rides in Miami, but like, at what point do you say, well, it's a little windy here?
I was in a hoodie, but like, plenty of people were still like, we're wearing our swimsuits. We're passing all these boats and everybody in bikinis and shirts off. And I was like, nah, I'm good.
Miami.
Got my hoodie on.
Yeah, I respect it.
Laid in the front.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to rain on anybody's parade here, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't exactly be out there in a Speedo myself, if you will. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I respect it, but I don't blame you for wearing a hoodie. And it was obviously freezing here, so I can't imagine it was, summertime weather down there either.
Not exactly, but it was still, I just like being out on the water. So it was, that was the beautiful part. So that made the whole thing worth it. But I mean, pretty much got a freebie on a friend was already going and was like, hey, come on, I'm getting some of the other girls.
Nice.
Let's go.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, I'm a Florida native, love being on the water, but my part of Florida could be not possibly any further from what was going on in Miami. You know what I mean?
Like,
I'm gonna probably go back to Florida this weekend to see my parents, take the kids down and everything, and like, it's a completely different, I mean, I think Pensacola is 12 hours from Miami by drive, so yeah man, that's a
completely, South Alabama.
Yeah, it's a completely different lifestyle. Than what you're dealing, even though you're in the same state. And it's like most states. You could probably separate it in North and South, most states, but it is what it is.
Miami's not my lifestyle either, but it's nice to get away and do a – we ate at, if you guys ever heard of or been to Carbone's, a really nice Italian spot. So it was nice to get a reservation in there. Spicy rigatoni is there.
You was up in Carbone?
Yeah, man. But I only I don't normally get to go in my these are through people I know. So it's like
wow, you really lived it up.
My friend really, you know,
Dylan.
Shout out to my girl.
What it must be like to be youth. The most bougie person on the show goes to a bougie restaurant and you're
what
shocked.
What are you? Oh, come on.
What is the shock and awe here?
Yeah, like, I was not shocked
you,
at all.
You really surprised that bougie Tiff went to a bougie restaurant
Spicy
in South
rigatoni.
Beach?
I mean, I'm just surprised that, like, you know, Carbone is, like, up there. Like, we talking about Carbone, you know what
you
I'm
know
saying?
What?
That was
must not know who you're talking to, man.
No.
Had I said that I went to Carbone, you'd be like, holy. Like, maybe have to ask
you. I'd have been like, who drug you there?
But, I mean, if Tiffany does, it's like, oh, well, right, you know, normal weekend.
On brand.
You guys have painted this picture.
No.
I am.
No. You have painted this picture.
Yes. Because I said I went to eat at a nice restaurant. So then I get lumped to a category
Tiff,
of.
Tiff, you painted it.
Did you notice how she said, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Carbone. You know,
yeah.
Obviously.
No, actually, I haven't
because
I'm a redneck. And I haven't. So thank you for telling me.
I was casual. Wait. Whoa. You would tell me the same about a restaurant in Woodstock. You'd be like, hey, have you ever been here? You know what? You know
what? West Woodstock and South Beach. One and the same.
I'm not coming out sick tomorrow, guys.
The only reason I've heard of Carbone is because Drake has rapped about it in songs.
Okay.
That's what
I'm saying. Dylan.
Dylan. She's at a restaurant that Drake raps going to, that he brags
That's
about.
That's how you know it's
Tiffany Blackman was up in there.
You know what I mean? Wow. That's how you know it's a big deal.
Well,
no, I'm not shocked.
Like, this would need to be a discussion every
Big Deal Blackman.
I like nice things. A lot of people don't. or a lot of people do like nice things, right? This wasn't me. That's the thing I'm trying to get across. Is like, I was on the benefiting side of my friend's vacation. Yeah. I got Tiff. To crash.
Poor Tiff was drugged there. So, did you get to see Messi and Beckham having a dinner together? Or maybe, you know.
No, I did not. Yeah. Reno, no, I did not.
You know, somebody like that.
Yeah, you don't only have that island in Miami of the
mansions. We went on a boat ride around some of those mansions and saw it. Yeah. Mm. Saw some
of those. Dinner on that island anywhere?
Heck
I respect it, and I'm jealous.
Okay.
Our weekend did not, my weekend at least, was about, you know, crunching through snow, but did build a snowman, although it almost took my son out in a live photo.
Picture's so funny.
Dude, did you get a chance to see that? Oh, dude, it almost KO'd.
Yeah, you sent it to me, and I was like.
Yeah, yeah. My wife posted on Instagram, and it's like our snowman was leaning, and we were like, we need to go ahead and get a photo in. And I mean mid-photo, this thing almost buried him. Like he was almost buried.
My diet was relegated to Mississippi pot roast, chili, and a frozen pizza. So.
There you go.
I actually missed
it. Was good. I made all of it. We made all of it.
Hey, it's coming back. I'll be here with you guys. It's coming back next week, apparently.
Is it?
So apparently it's supposed to be. That's the word on the street. So let's hit the front page. This music kills me. It
sounds
every
like
time.
A WCW wrestler coming out.
It sounds like Joe Dirt, like a Joe Dirt theme song. He's walking through the.
This is like the guy that comes out that's like gonna lose, like on the, you know, the first match of like WCW Saturday Night Main Event. Where like they're gonna come out.
The guy who literally just has a singlet on, like he doesn't have any flavor to his personality.
My dad called. He goes. That's what you call a whipping boy because he's gonna go out there and get beat. His only job is to lose. Like he's like a no-name guy in tights, and he's gonna lose.
I need you to find something else.
It
for me.
Sounds like the front page music is gonna have to be changed for a second.
I think so because I can't do it with a straight face. All right, this segment's brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadleyBuys.com. All right, let's look at the NFL wild card weekend that was. The Texans beat the Chargers 32-12, and the Ravens beat the Steelers 28-14. And then that was on Saturday. On Sunday, the Bills beat the Broncos 31-7. The Eagles beat the Packers 22-10. And the Commanders beat the Bucks 23-20.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of a dry run, at least until last night. Like some of the games were letdowns, and obviously still one on the docket tonight. But the games, for the most part, not great, you know, but I thought the games were a little bit better yesterday than they were a couple of days ago. A couple of dominant teams, a couple of physical teams really started to separate who was actually a contender for the Super Bowl, I feel like, over the weekend. But all the games as far as me watching them till last night, and I know we'll get into them throughout the show, until last night, I don't think any of them were actually great football games.
They weren't.
They just kind of were there.
They weren't. It was a very defensive-minded weekend, college and NFL playoffs.
That's fair to say.
I don't think either team that played in that wild card on Saturday afternoon is a contender. The Texans just looked – I thought they looked this average. And, you know, they were able to capitalize off Chargers' mistakes. Two of those four interceptions that Herbert threw went right through hands. I mean, off of hands. That's awful. The Ravens looked dominant against what is an average offense
that
in
game
Pittsburgh.
Was fun. I was – watching it on my phone at the table. That game was fun to watch. And Derrick Henry and the stiff arms. And right now, they look like the team to beat.
Yeah, I agree. Either them or Buffalo. And I love Lamar Jackson. Y'all hear afterwards, he started talking about Lightning McQueen.
Yes.
Oh, man, that was so good. As somebody who constantly has that movie on my television right now, I just started cracking up. And I didn't even think about it. The movie's 18 years old.
I was going to ask how old he was.
Yeah, the movie's 18 years old. So when Lamar was like, yeah, I used to watch it as a kid. Like, I think they did the math, and he was like, he would have been nine. Like, when he came
that
out,
hurts
which
my
makes
heart.
It makes, I know. It makes a lot of sense, and I was sitting there, you know, he's like, oh, you know, like McQueen, screw, screw, I mean, you know, like in and out. I'm like, yes, dude, that's so awesome.
Yeah, the Buffalo game was good for a half, and then I thought the Eagles-Packers game was, I like defensive effort games. They're entertaining to me. I mean, some people might want to read a book through them, but not me.
Did you, like, I'm telling you right now, and I listen, I have no reason to doubt A.J. Brown for the whole reading the book thing, but I don't know, man. For him to say he does that every game and the camera's just never seen him, I'm having a hard time with that. Like, I'm having a hard time believing
that.
The camera's never seen you read a book on the sideline. You're one of the top 100 players in the NFL, top 50 players in the NFL, and they've never noticed you reading a book on the sideline. Yeah. I was struggling with that statement a little bit, but
sounds like a guy who had one catch for 10 yards all game. I mean,
to each their own.
Turning him into Johnny Moxon, huh?
If that's what gets you in the right mindset, I'm all for it. It's just the statement that he does it every game that I'm like, really?
No,
someone would have found that on camera. Yes.
Right. I mean, like, come on, man.
Whoever was working the sidelines would have seen that, and that would have been a really cool hit, a really good story.
Especially with some of these primetime games where they have, like, two sideline reporters. I mean, when, like, Tom Rinaldi and Aaron Andrews did that game, and they're the sideline reporters. And I think Monday Night Football might have two, and I think the Sunday Night Football crew might have two as well. I mean, So yeah, I'm with you guys. That's garbage. That was me proving a point. As in AJ Brown is proving a point. And cool. That's good, man. Whatever point you get to prove, hope it works out for you.
Vikings Rams tonight. That closes out Wild Card Weekend. And Sam Darnold and the Vikings kind of need to bounce back, right?
Yeah, I think so. The overarching story, I guess, is going to be, you know, the relocation of the game and everything that comes along with that.
What do you think the crowd's going to look like?
I don't know. They said there's been decent demand. The Cardinals owner came out and said there was Taylor Swift-like demand for tickets. And then, every single person in the know was like, yeah, that's just not true. But hopefully it's a capacity crowd. And hopefully, I honestly hope there's a Los Angeles slant to it, obviously. Well, don't know if there will be, but hopefully there is.
I hope there's a good crowd, and I hope, I think it's Michael Bidwell who owns the Cardinals.
Yes, that's him.
I hope he takes all of the proceeds and sends it to L.A.
I think he is. He's actually, and I've been following along with some of his statements, he's done a really good job with a lot of that stuff and saying, hey, we're here for whatever they need. They actually, did you see they sent their team plane as well to pick up the Rams families? The Arizona team plane, they sent them to pick up the Rams families and bring
awesome.
Them. So. It was cool. He's done a good job.
All right. Well, we come back here on the morning shift, bring it closer to home because there were some changes that went on in Flowery Branch. We'll get a statement from the team, from the Falcons, after they parted ways with defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake. We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift, and changes have come for the Atlanta Falcons football staff, and they include parting of ways with defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake and defensive line coach Jay Rogers. In a statement, Coach Raheem Morris had this to say: after a thorough evaluation of the season and with careful consideration for our team's future, we deem these moves necessary. These decisions are never easy from the human side of things, and we wish Jimmy and Jay and their families the best. So, do you guys think this is what needed to happen, given the defense had kind of started off right in a lull to start the season, at least in the everyone's harped on it, the sack category, right? But then it seemed like they kind of started to turn things around, and then the last couple games did not, fare well.
No, you were bottom half in pretty much everything, almost every statistical category that's out there. So yeah, I mean, I don't
like, after one season.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, it wasn't – nothing about this defense looked like it was any good. And then the only time you had a breath of fresh air in it or hope was when Raheem got more involved, according to, you know, reports from, like, I think Ian Rappaport, or maybe it was Pelissero, one of those guys put it out there. I don't know how you could go status quo. Look, you can't wipe out a staff – and say, we are in win-now mode, and then put a top-10 offense, according to almost every category in the NFL, out on product out there, and a bottom-tier, the defensive rankings, 23rd, 22nd, 15th, and then the one that matters the most in points allowed per game, 23rd. You're allowed 25 points a game.
Yeah. That was one of the biggest things, and we talked about it Friday, Bo. Terry Fontenot's presser on Thursday, he pointed to the fact that you really did pretty well after the bye week as far as sacks go, and you were, you know, starting to climb up. And he's like, you know, we were last in the league, you know, as far as sacks go and everything else. And it was like, I get that you were climbing, but you ended like second to last in the league. You know what I mean? What's our actual goal here? And so, I don't know. There's a lot of questions I have about them moving on from Jimmy Lake. Raheem Morris is a defensive coordinator by trade, right? And so obviously this defense, a lot of it has to do with Raheem Morris. I think that I think when I looked at this move being made, it wasn't so much about Jimmy Lake. It's about possibilities of what that person could be in that role. And so I do think that Jimmy Lake, I'm going to give it like just 20% was a little bit of a scapegoat. But it's going to be more about who they hire in that role moving forward, because I think that when you look at that role, the possibilities are endless as far as people that Raheem could bring in that have a different set of eyeballs and that have a much longer background in these NFL roles.
Well, and all right, look at the teams around you as far as points per game allowed. The Colts are behind you. The Bengals fired their DC. Raiders fired their coaching staff. I throw the Browns out. Jaguars fired their coaching staff. The Niners fired their DC. The Titans, the Cowboys, and then the Panthers. That's not the company you want to keep right now. But the thing I would say, the reason why I felt like it was something that had to happen was you did. What was the bye? The bye was the week before Thanksgiving, right? After, and I think you were six
and yeah, it was a week leading into Thanksgiving.
It was 11 games in, maybe. I think you were 6-5, something like that.
Yes.
You made no adjustments until after the bye. You know, you didn't start getting sacks after the bye. And what was the adjustment to get sacks after the bye? You crept up your DBs and did not play them so far off the ball that it was just a glaringly embarrassing of what you were giving up. And that was after the bye and when supposedly Raheem got more involved. That the lack of adjustments in just simple, just little things that to tweak to try to make the defense better.
Now, so you felt like they should have done, obviously, what you're saying is they should have done more during the bye.
No, I think they should have done before the bye. I don't think it should have taken 11 games to get to figure out that you weren't getting enough pass rush because you're playing so far off the ball. And that's to me on that's Jimmy Lake's job. That's why I have no issues with Jimmy Lake personally, but you were glaringly bad on defense so much that it did cost you some games.
Do you think it was maybe Raheem letting him, you know, be the defensive coordinator and try to figure it out, and then maybe according to some of those reports, like you just referenced, felt the need to step in when he wasn't seeing the changes he wanted to see?
I absolutely think it was that, Tiff. And that's why you had to make a change, because it didn't get better until you stepped in. And if you have to do it, either just do it yourself or go find someone that can do it so you don't have to. I also go and look at the last week of the season against Carolina. You look lost. You look confused. You look out of sorts, almost like you hadn't played 16 games already.
Yeah. Let me just try to play devil's advocate here, because you were talking about how the defense was glaringly bad up until the bye week. And remember, you had some good games. Let's not act like every game you're just getting blown out. You lost week one without giving up a touchdown. You had a number of times, that you held up, you 100% held up your end of the bargain. And let's not forget that this Falcons defense was built on limiting explosive plays. They played cover three. They played off. Everything was in front of them. They were good tacklers at the beginning of the season from the cornerback position. They were able to step up, make open field tackles. We praised Mike Hughes on here a dozen times in those first few games. You were 6-3. The last two games before the bye week, to me, are really, to your point, where the wheels fell off. So the adjustments needed to come right then, whether or not it was the bye week or not. What you did against Denver was abysmal. It was awful. And then you come out of that, obviously, and drop a couple games. And I think that points more to where Kirk Cousins probably was at that point. But nonetheless, I think that I just think that, to me, it's not so much about Jimmy Lake. It's the fact that when something's not working, and a lot of times this happens in the NFL, and I think this is one of the biggest missteps when you get a job the way Raheem did last year. You bring in guys that you've been working with very recently. And sometimes that leads to not having a different perspective or a different set of eyes. And I think that maybe what's happening right now is we have the opportunity for him to go back and correct that. Now you bring in somebody from another staff, somebody that runs a different defensive system or scheme. Now they can bring in more of another veteran presence as far as NFL defensive coordinators, whatever it may be. Maybe a previous head coach. I don't know. But you can find somebody that brings in a different set of eyes and looks at things from a perspective, to your point, of let's walk up and tighten up the DBs. Here's what we can do other than that to limit explosive plays. And sometimes you get a different set of eyes. So it's not all about Jimmy Lake to me. It's about what that position could be on this defensive staff. I feel the same way about Jay Rodgers. I don't want to keep overlooking him. I feel the same way. I don't know if Jay Rodgers was a scapegoat, but I don't know that he was given all the tools that he could have been given in this job. And you drafted a bunch of rookies up front, and let's see if the next guy coming in can do a better job developing those guys.
The point I was going to try to make was just that with the turnovers, right, your defense is constantly getting back on the field. So that was just one thing to point out.
Yeah, and I would say that the Chargers game, you guys have a really, really – at the second half, it's 100% y'all accurate. I mean, that Chargers game was all on the quarterback play. And you're not trying to single out one player or another, but when you throw the ball to the other team four times and you lose, what was it, like 14-9, I can't blame my defense. But then I go to the Vikings game, and you just look lost at times in the secondary. And some of that's the Vikings' credit. But, you know, you can't give up 42 points and win in the NFL. It's very rare you can win a game. I mean, very rare you win a game when you give up more than 30 points.
Yeah.
It's just
hard.
Well, to
your point, that's after the bye week and after the changes have been made. And I think is that not the risk, though, in your opinion, when you talk about walking up, challenging wide receivers so that the defensive front can get home? If they don't get home, now all of a sudden you walk up in press coverage, and now all of a sudden your DBs are lost on the back end because they're covering for 5 or 6
seconds. I thought it was a risk of not getting home, because like one of the big plays you had, Justin Simmons doesn't get home,
right?
And Darnold gets out of the pocket, makes a good play. Look, it's no doubt that the defense is devoid of talent in certain situations or players that can play in the way that they need them to. I thought Judon and Simmons were bust. Who's that on? I mean, you can ultimately, the GM's the one that has a fall on the sword for that. But you know, did Matthew Judon take plays off because he thought he knew he wasn't going to get home because you're playing veteran quarterbacks, you get the ball off quickly? I don't know. I don't know what the hell happened with Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates, but way too many times they were barking is not the term, but having to discuss on the field where the miscommunication was after an explosive. You know, there's a lot of blame to be thrown around, but ultimately, when you get the money and the title of defensive coordinator, you're going down with it, just like the head coach. So, you know, when you guys start talking...
I agree with that.
You know, I mean, unfortunately... It's an
unfortunate thing, but you're spot on. When you take this job, you sign up to understand what you've got. It's just like a head coaching job.
The Jay Rodgers thing is interesting to me because... How can I blame a guy for not getting enough sacks? See, here's the other problem. Who's responsible? The run game wasn't very good this year at times. But also at times it was better than you thought. You know, you didn't get sacks, but is that the defensive line? Some teams have edge specialists, right? I mean, Baltimore, our friend Chuck Smith's up there, and he's just really just a pass rush specialist there. He's for their edge guys. That's kind of his thing. I would say it's tough to blame Jay Rodgers at times when you play so far off the ball, but then again, you said it, and a lot of people aren't coming back. Why was Brandon Dorlus active for only 2 games? That means he can't get on the field, so he's not doing more. That's a development thing for me, and that's where you have to develop guys. That's probably the biggest thing, not right?
I think it definitely is moving forward, especially for Jay Rodgers. Not so much Jimmy Lake, but Jay Rodgers for sure. It was like, who can we bring in here with all the investments we've made through the draft that can develop guys up front?
But wouldn't that be for any position coach in NFL? More than anything else, your job is to develop players.
For sure.
So that's probably why he got sent packing.
The college football playoff finals have been set. You got Notre Dame, and going into the weekend, we had Ohio State solidify their spot in the championship game. It's been a busy week for the Buckeyes. We'll tell you why in more ways than one. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the Morning Shift giving you the latest on college football. But first, next Monday night, you want to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for complete coverage of college football's national championship game. Chris Thomas will be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw up to kickoff at 7:30, and Bo Morgan will be there for a live appearance.
That's me.
As well. It's all brought to you by Dos Equis. Go for Dos. That's Monday night at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah.
You're the best.
Thanks for building me up, Tiff.
I was going to say, it's not, I bet the sales staff loved that one.
It's not Carvana or whatever you go, you know, but what? You know what? It's my people. I will be with my people, the nation.
You can't set me up and be like, yay, that's me, and be cheerful, expect me not to take a shot.
You should be. You should support me.
You did.
Unwavering faith.
You did have a certain, like, Super Mario
it's
sound.
Me.
It's me.
Mario.
Yeah. It is you. All right. Yeah.
So, we know Notre Dame, Thursday night, they secured their spot in the college football playoffs, and that was with a win over Penn State. Ohio State and Texas was the game on Friday night, and it is Ohio State that will meet Notre Dame in that championship matchup as they beat Texas 28-14 in the semifinal, and that game was exactly what I thought it would be, really good. And yeah. Coming up, Jack Sawyer, who's been a great for the Buckeyes for quite some time now. This was his senior year, I believe, coming up with the strip sack and scoop and score against his former Ohio State roommate.
Yeah.
I'm sure you all know that.
That's called the Big Kahuna.
Quinn Ewers, who used to play there.
That's called the Big
Briefly,
Kahuna. When you get a sack, strip sack, recovery, and return it for a touchdown. That's what we call it on the Falcons broadcast.
Return.
Vic Beasley had a big kahuna for the Falcons back in 16 against Jared Goff and the Rams. Look, that was you're right. That was kind of you said this what you expect. I didn't know what to expect because Ohio State had been so dominant offensively their first two. I thought that this was the best defense that they've played so far, best athletes that they've played up front so far, but I didn't really know what to expect. And it was a phenomenal game. I mean, it's 21-14. That's fourth and goal when Jack Sawyer makes that play to seal the game. Won me $20, so I'm okay with it.
It was, dude, what's interesting about it was I'm watching it through the first half, and I thought Texas was getting smoked.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the fact that they've kept it within seven, and then they score before halftime, you know, in the last couple of minutes, you're like, man, this feels a lot like Georgia in the SEC title game against Texas, like where they kind of kept it close, but you felt like they were getting whooped. And in the end, they were able to make a couple plays in the second half. And all that thought process got turned on its head when the next play, they throw the screen pass. They throw the screen pass, and the guy takes the entire distance. Trayvon
Henderson
takes the entire distance, and you're going, everything I just thought in my head absolutely flipped a complete 180-degree turn, and now I'm like, man, Ohio State's in the driver's seat now headed into halftime.
Ewers had the costly interception, right? That was obviously before the strip sack fumble. But then, it felt like you were on a little bit of a roller coaster with Texas, but that's kind of how their offense has kind of been this season.
How about the nod on Will Howard's hand he played with? Now, that's his non-throwing
goose egg.
Hand.
Yeah. Yep, goose egg.
He looked like is a total recall day with Arnold, where like you grow in that little thing out of your body, and you just like that's kind of what it looked like. It looked like he was growing an alien out of his hand.
Yeah.
That thing was so big. Gnarly.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when it's a head injury, you're like, it's a good thing it's coming outward. You know what I mean? Like you want to see the goose egg because that means the swelling's not on the inside.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, man. Speaking of Will Howard, Quinn Ewers, the quarterbacks in this game. I can't decide if either one of them played well or outplayed the other one. They felt like the exact same player to me throughout the game. Their passing yards were almost the same. I think Ewers did, to Tiff's point, have an extra interception, but neither one of them were without ups and downs in the game. I thought both of them played very hard, but it was interesting to me to watch these two guys battle back and forth and kind of go at it because they were very similar players during this game. You think Will Howard is being a little bit more mobile than Quinn Ewers, but I didn't see that very much. I mean, he stumbled on his biggest run. When he has it looked like he had a clear path to the end zone, and the sprinkler head gets him. It was interesting to me watching these guys, and I'm wondering, watching it, going, are either of these guys NFL quarterbacks? And I'm not sure the answer to that. I don't think what I was looking at the other day really looked like either of those guys are like top 10 first round picks.
I don't know if Quinn Ewers is a top 10. First round pick, but I think he's an NFL quarterback. At least, I mean, he can do as much as I've seen.
He'll get a shot.
I mean, hell, I had somehow the Twitter conversation jumped into Kenny Pickett versus Desmond Ritter yesterday, which is when you're in that conversation, you know you're in Twitter hell. But I think he deserves a shot as much as either one of those two guys have gotten multiple shots to start.
When you've gotten that far, you just got to put your phone down.
Like, well, that, you know what? I had the exact opposite.
Against Desmond, or you're like, nope. I got to put the app away.
That's actually
not
what
even
I dug
deleted
in.
It, that conversation.
I actually dug
I
in.
Am
I was
not
like,
shocked by that.
No, if we're here, I'm going all in. Well,
I'm not shocked by that.
It all started because there's about 10 million Atlanta Falcons fans.
Here we go.
Who think the team should trade for George Pickens? Because that's what'll put us over the top.
Why are you in the depths? The basement on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just why
stop.
Not?
That George Pickens conversation. You wrangled me into that one.
I
tagged
did.
Me on Twitter. I'm going, what is this?
Misery loves company, brother.
You know what? I'm going to say this. Bo, I'm going to actually give you some credit. I'm going to say you do a little bit of the Lord's work by going into the depths of Twitter.
Get out of here.
By going to the depths of Twitter and reading what, you know, that toxic fan base is saying.
Have you ever
reporting back.
Have you ever seen
really good for your mental health.
Dylan, have you ever seen the movie Spawn?
I think it is good
not.
For his.
So Spawn is like Spawn is like a soldier who dies and goes to hell, and then he's basically commanded by Satan to lead their armies, and he like stabs him in the back, and he's like, "Nah, I'm gonna fight for good." It's a pretty good movie.
Okay,
it's a comic book movie. I like
it. Check it out.
So
I'm Spawn.
You're listening out there. I'm sorry that
I think I might be Spawn.
I'm sorry that this is transpiring at this moment.
On Twitter, I'm Spawn.
Dylan, you just have to let that be. Now he's amped up. Now he's gonna attack the Twitter app later.
He should, as he should.
He's gonna attack.
Those little fingers are gonna be typing away.
Things are gonna be moving a million miles.
Bo reports back with very pertinent information that we need to know.
Yeah, 10 million Falcons fans want George Pickens. I have no clue why.
Bo has the pulse of the fan base right on his thumb, and I love it. He has the pulse of his fan base right on his thumb, and I love it.
I feel like we're including the German contingent if we're talking about 10 million Falcons.
Well, hey, they count too. We're licensed there now. We're marketed to Germany.
While you were leaving no stone unturned on the, I'm going to call it the dark web now. Did you happen to bump into any Ohio State fans there and see what they think about Ryan Day and if he has maybe solidified his position as remaining the head coach of this team? Because Mike Vrabel, there was a lot of talk about maybe the Buckeyes trying to, at least the fan base wise, wanted to see their, but he's in the college football, the Hall of Fame there. Great football player. Well, they wanted to see Mike Vrabel lead Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't think there was a chance in hell Mike Vrabel was taking that job. And the reason why is, why do that when he can work, when he doesn't have to recruit his players in the NFL? He was never going to do that. I think I would think that if you're an Ohio State fan right now, and you want Ryan Day fired, regardless of the outcome on the 20th, where I'll be at Twin Peaks from 5:30 to 7:30 to watch party, then you would.
Turtle.
Then you, no, me. I'm not a part of that. That's a broadcast. I'm an appearance. You can come talk to me. I don't know about the rest. Then you would be just ridiculous. And it's the same contingent of kind of people that wanted Todd Bowles fired after last night for what, winning and never making the playoffs every single year he's been there as a head coach. It's just dumb.
Key injuries, too, to that Bucs team with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans battling through things during different points of this season. Mike, your thoughts on Ryan Day before I give the Mike Vrabel news?
No, I mean, I'm with you. He's there, and he should be. He's done a great job throughout these playoffs, and it's a different day and age in college football. This is what college football is now, so he's proven his worth in this current system.
All right, on to Mike Vrabel, and I mentioned his name a lot because the former OSU, or the OSU alum, I should say, has returned to the Patriots, and they hired their former longtime player. So he was a great linebacker there. They did not disclose the terms, but sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Vrabel and New England agreed to a multi-year contract. So the team confirmed the hiring Sunday morning, announcing him as the 16th head coach in franchise history. Of course, you know him as a linebacker, one of the greats for the Patriots from 2001 to 2008. Three Super Bowl championships he won with that team, just coming from the Tennessee Titans after getting let go the season before. And now here he is back in New England, which is what I think a lot of people up there had wanted all along. But just kind of a crazy, you had Gerard Mayo, former player. Now you're bringing back another former player. So
yeah, and they had to have been teammates at one point as well in that linebacking core. So it is interesting to follow, and I think that, you know, a lot of people had questions why they didn't do this last year. Obviously, they had promised Rod Mayo through a number of years that he would be the successor to Bill Belichick, And it just so happened that Mike Vrabel took a year off and was not hired last cycle. And so everybody knew this is where this was going. I mean, the exact minute this came out, we all said this is Mike Vrabel's job, and as it should be. I think it's a good hire. I don't know that it's a great hire the way I see some people, you know, kind of celebrating it. It's good. Like, the guy knows the thing, but, like, it feels like you've had this guy in that role for 30 years there. He's a defensive-minded head coach that is going to have to absolutely nail the offensive coordinator position on his staff.
Random question here. Because of the Jerod Mayo situation, how that was handled, and Kraft saying that he basically was taking ownership on how it all went down, do you think somehow he ends up staying with the team and maybe on the defensive side? It sounds weird, but I just look at how that team, and looked like they tried to take care of each other with Kraft. You know, they kind of had this plan to keep Mayo in house. It would be weird.
It
but
would
I
be
just
strange,
wanted,
but they do
but,
strange things
but
there.
Exactly.
They do strange. I mean, good Lord, we talked about the Matt Patricia and Joe Judge moves a million times over. They do weird things that place.
Well, so, I don't know what Mayo's relationship is with Vrabel, but obviously they were teammates at one point. So,
yeah, but let's bring back Teddy Bruschi, too.
Clean house. Like, I know that you're really not when you bring back a guy like Vrabel because of the ties he has to that Patriot era of the Belichick Brady thing.
The Patriot
but
way.
Just like, first off, do what's best for Mayo, and Mayo should do what's best for him. That's leave, go somewhere else.
Completely agree.
He can be a coach somewhere. He can learn under a different. Somebody told me,
you didn't want me here. Bye.
Bye.
No,
yeah.
Not
well,
helping you.
That part I agree with, but. Actually, Sandra Golden told me this a long time ago, and it is one of the truest things. It's you can be in the same business and be in a different place, and you can things can be done completely different.
Yes.
And sometimes it is phenomenally good for you as a professional with growth and growth speaking on growing as a professional to see things done a different way. And you know, she was telling me that one day about radio because I thought,
We were just talking about this about Raheem. Yeah. That's how I felt about Raheem.
And so the point I'm making is Jerod Mayo has seen it done one way his whole career as a coach, to my knowledge, which is the Bill Belichick way. He, you know, and he got a lot of that as a player. I mean, obviously he played at, you know, Tennessee, and I think he played somewhere else, maybe other than New England in the end, but I don't really know. I'd have to go back and see. But it's always been done one way. Go see how a Sean McVay does it, or maybe Pete Carroll gets the job in Chicago, and you go to Pete Carroll's side. Go see how it's done differently. And then you can take some of that, and you're going to grow as a coach, and he's going to get his chance again. I don't like the coach-in-waiting thing. I think it lends you to not look at every available thing, and I think it causes issues. But go grow as a coach. And it might be the best thing in the world for Jerod Mayo when he gets a second shot, because he will get a second chance.
All right, it's that time of year, so we've seen a lot of changes so far in the NFL, more to still come. And what is next now for the Falcons as they parted ways with defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake? We'll discuss next on the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.